series and have some Wednesday nights with this. If you will, begin with me and look with me in the book of Mark, chapter number 1. The book of Mark, chapter number 1. And we're going to do a series of studies on Jesus in prayer. Jesus in prayer. You know, it's a great thing, an important thing for us to know, man, that we pray and all of that. But, man, to think, man, it's so important that even Jesus, our Savior, is the one who prayed. Amen? So let's look at that, if you will, with me in Mark chapter number 1. And we're going to start out with an idea, verses 35 through 39, starting the day with prayer. Starting the day with prayer. So look with me, if you will, chapter number 1. Let's read just a few verses. Begin with me at verse number 35. And the Bible says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you again for the day of blessing and all the goodness that you've bestowed on us. I pray now just add your blessings to the reading, and I pray you'd just bless us with a visit. I pray you'd stir our hearts, draw us close to you, make us more like you, give us a greater desire and passion to be the Christian that would honor you in this old crazy world. And we'll thank you for everything you do. Burden our hearts for those that are lost and need Christ Jesus. And again, we'll praise you. We'll thank you. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. As you think about this, starting your day with prayer. And, you know, we read here that Jesus got up. It said, in the morning, rising up a great while before the day. And I can't think of a better way for us to start our days than in prayer, really. I mean, whether it's, you know, however you do it, if you want to read and pray, or if you want to just pray and read later, or whatever it is and however it is that you approach it, man, that's a good way to start your day. There's an old preacher by the name of E. Stanley Jones, and he said this, that prayer is our exposure to God. We expose ourselves to God. And can I tell you, hey, we need to do a lot more of that. I mean, it's a place where, you know, you just make a revelation of you and who you are. And God already knows who you are. But we just reveal ourselves. We just show ourselves. And we say, God, here I am. And you see me just like I am. And I have some needs before you today. And aren't you glad we can come before him and just spread all of these things out and say, God, here's my life. Here's my situation. Here's my problem. Here's what's going on right now. And I sure do need you to work and move and be in my life. Amen. So that's what is going on. You know, you think about that. I mean, people, when you got to work, you know what? You get up early to go to work. When you've got a task before you, you get up and go. Does the gymnasium open early? Sure it does. And there's people out there every day. I mean, you can go to, you know, Planet Fitness or the Key down the road here, or wherever you want to go. All these 24-hour gym, man, they're out there. They're working. They get up. They go in. They work up a sweat. Why don't we do something early in the morning to prepare ourselves for the spiritual world and the spiritual warfare that is there before us? We need that, don't we? We certainly need it. So that's the idea that we have. And, you know, you think about in your Bible, what does it tell us that Daniel did? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I believe he got up early in the morning. He opened that window, looked toward Jerusalem, and began to pray to the God of heaven. Amen? And I believe if you'll read some of the Psalms, you'll see that David said he sought the Lord morning, noon, and night. And I believe you and I could follow those examples and realize the importance that there is. But as I said, a real key issue to me is the fact that Jesus is praying, you know. So let's look at that, if you would. First of all, I want you to notice this. when we read this, I want you to see, first of all, the prayer, the one doing the praying. I guess a better way to say that, the prayer of the prayer. Let's look at the one doing the praying. I mean, you look at that, and, you know, some people might be real mystified. Why did Jesus need to pray? Well, again, if Jesus thought it important to pray, boy, me and you ought to move it on up on our list, too. Amen. If Jesus is that worried about praying. In the morning, it says in verse 35, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and he departed into a solitary place and there prayed. He didn't go sit and meditate. He didn't go and sit and wait for the rising of the sun to see all the beauty of it. He didn't go and just kind of put his hands out and hum a little bit and look like he's in a place of meditation. Jesus went to pray. Jesus went to pray. Now you look at that, you see just real quickly three things there that I want you to throw out here to you. First of all, and when Jesus prayed, you see that Jesus found a point in time to pray. He found a point in time. He got up before anybody else did, and he went out to pray. You see that he found not only a point in time, but he found a place. The Bible says here he found a solitary place. He wanted to be by himself. He wanted to get alone. He wanted to be away from everything else and everybody else. And Jesus found him a solitary place to go pray. And then, I want you to know that he found himself there in a purpose. The purpose was to pray. As I said, it wasn't meditation. It wasn't watching the fineness of the daybreak. It wasn't just to go out and sip a cup of coffee and watch things unfold. It was a time of prayer for our Lord. It was a time of prayer. So, the prayer of the prayer, first of all, let's look at this. Why, you and I would say, well, Jesus is the one doing the praying. Well, why in the world does he need to pray? Well, first of all, I believe you'll see that he realizes he needs to pray because there is work to be done. There's something to be done. You know, you look back on what has happened here, and Jesus has been in a lot of work, if you will. In the first part of this chapter, you see that Jesus goes into the area of the synagogue, and there's all kinds of things going on there. He casts out devils, and some of the people around about him, you know how that he goes, and he is heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and you know they go home from a church service, and those things are going on. She's sick, and I mean it says there in verse 32. At the evening of this day. This is the Sabbath day. So Jesus goes out that evening, and it says that there, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, them that were possessed with devil, and all the cities gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, cast out many devils, suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. I mean, Jesus had a busy day. Amen. I mean, this is the Sabbath day. And you think, well, that's pretty good. I mean, they look at Jesus as we do maybe a preacher. They looked at him as a rabbi, a teacher, a leader in a religious sort of mindset. And that's the way they saw him. So, yeah, he ought to be busy on the Sabbath day. But can I tell you, hey, let me tell you something, preachers. You know what happened to us? Oh, let me tell you, Monday comes. Amen. You may shout her out on Sunday. You may knock her down and may have a running fit and may see things happen on the Lord's day. But let me tell you, Monday's right around the corner. Amen. I have heard a lot of my friends and other men in the ministry say, boy, I get up Sunday morning and I mean we have a time and then Monday morning comes and I'm ready to quit. I tell God I'm through. I don't want to face it no more. Them people don't appreciate it. They ain't nothing that they're doing and it's all bad and I'm just in the mully grubs and down and out, down in the dumps and, you know, by Monday morning. Hey, there's a lot of preachers there, but aren't you glad, thank God, as the day wears on, something begins to happen and you say, I ain't quitting, amen. Right? I'm ready to get in this thing. Well, that's one reason why we need to pray. because there is still work to be done on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I mean, there's a whole time ahead of us where there is still work to be done. And for that work to be done, hey, we've got to have some power, some help, some encouragement through the praying that we can do. I mean, what this tells me, when I look at this and I see that the scriptures tell us there that Jesus got up a great while before the day, he went out and he departed into this solitary place to pray as he went there, and he realizes there's work to do in this day, and I'm dependent upon God to get the power from him that I've got to have to make it through this day. Amen? It's this day. And I want to tell you, you and I need to have that same mindset. We need to have that same wisdom that if we're going to get up today and face it, you're going to need the Lord. Amen? Somebody said, well, preacher, you need the Lord when you're facing trouble. And somebody else said, hey, preacher, I need the Lord just to go to Walmart. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, you need the Lord wherever you are and whatever you're doing. You and I need him because there is still much work to be done. And Jesus showed his dependence upon his heavenly Father. And how much more should you and I? He got up and he went. There's work to be done. But second of all, there is a will to fulfill. There is a will to fulfill. Now you and I need to realize, men, that Jesus came to do the will of the Father. I mean, that's what he says, right? But look with me, if you will, over in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm number 40. And I know that's one of those great psalms that David wrote, talk about being down in the pit and all that kind of stuff, and the Lord lifted him up. It's a prophetic psalm, so if you would. But look what he says in verse number 7. He said, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, oh my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. There's a will for us to fulfill. We're here to fulfill the will of God. Jesus said, it's not my will, but thy will be done, right? I mean, we've got something there for us. I say it's a work, but importantly so than the work, I guess, is the fact that we're doing the will of God. We can get up in the morning and we can pray and we can say, God, what is your will for me today? You know, some of us are, and I mean, I've been as guilty, I guess, as anybody. We wander around and they say, well, I wonder what the will of God is for my life. You know how to find the will of God for your life? Get up, go into your bathroom in the morning, look in the mirror and say, God, I'm here reporting for duty today. What do you want me to do now? Amen. That's the best way to find the will of God for your life. You see what God needs for you to do today. Because tomorrow it may be something else. Next week will probably be something else on down the line. But I'm telling you right now, there is a will for me and you to fulfill. It's the will of God. I mean, it may be for you to, you know, go talk to a particular person on this day. And tomorrow it may be to pray. And then the next day it may be to give assistance to someone. I mean, there's just any number of things. And God wants to use every one of us and get his will performed. Is that not what Jesus told him when his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray like a, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know, boy, some of us spend our time trying to make our will done. It's not our will. It's not what we want. It's not how I see it. It's not how you see it. It's not, well, I'd have done it this way. Can I tell you, God knows a whole lot more about what he wants done and how he wants it done than I ever will. Amen? So I want to do the will of my Father. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus went out to pray. And I believe when he prayed, that was one of those things on his heart, was to fulfill the will of his Father. You see him throughout the scriptures, and we'll do this as we go through this study. But you'll see Jesus standing there. A lot of times, he's just talking with the Father out loud, and that is a type of prayer. He said, oh, Lord, I'm glad that you put me here, and I'm glad that these people are here to see it, because they're seeing the will of the Father performed through what Jesus is doing. So the prayer, the prayer. He is there and realizes work to be done, a will to fulfill, and he realizes this, there is wickedness that we need to overcome. This world is filled with wickedness. I mean, when you and I step out the door in the morning, you better be prepared. Amen? I mean, you and I need to be prepared for what we're about to face, because there is much wickedness that is there in this world. I mean, listen, Jesus ran into, as a matter of fact, here they went down to the church house. And what does it say? That he's in there and he's helping them get healed there. He goes down to Peter's mother-in-law's house and she's got a fever. He heals her. And then it says, they just, in verse 32, at evening, when the sun set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And you know what it says? It says in verse 34, and he healed many of them that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Amen? Can I tell you, if Jesus is facing them, me and you got them out there in our path. I'm just telling you, you and I don't understand how wicked this world is. There's many times we'll sit around and my wife and I may be watching some newscast or something, and something popped, and I said, man, can you believe? She said, honey, the devil's out there. And guess what? He visits Walker County. He comes around Rossville and Chickamauga and Fort Oglethorpe and anywhere else that you want to think of, name or where you live. Hey, he comes to Lafayette. I mean, he's all round about it. He is busy working his devilish, delightful ways. So you're going to have a struggle, and you need to pray, because, brother, the Bible says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high place. How do you fight that? On your knees in humility before a great and mighty powerful God to fight on your behalf. Amen? I mean, that's what it takes. You remember the story in the Old Testament of Elisha and his little servant. And his little servant gets up in the morning and he goes out. He looks around and he realizes they're surrounded by a great army of those that want to do the people of Israel harm. And he's where he goes back in. He said, alas, master. He said, what are we going to do? And Elisha, he cuts him off a piece of, I was going to say ham. I don't guess it is it? But he cuts him off a piece of chicken and begins to chew on that. And said, Lord, how about opening this boy's eyes up? And I mean, the boy's eyes gets open. He looks up and he sees the heavens filled with the angelic hosts that are there ready to do battle with the demons of hell that day. And he said, wow. He said, they that be for us are more than those that are against us. Amen? Oh, listen, David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Aren't you glad they're right there on your heels? Somebody said that really that little statement means that they're just right there, right in step with you, right behind you. They are there on your every step and move. The goodness of God, the mercy of God. Hey, it's right there with y'all. And aren't you glad of that? Amen. And I'll tell you how you enjoying that into your life is through prayer. It's through prayer. That's how Jesus had these things in his life. So first of all, you look at the prayer of the prayer. But second of all, let's look at the preeminence of prayer. I mean, Jesus made prayer a preeminent part of his life. It's something that he does every day. It's something he does with people and without people. I mean, there are places, and we'll look at here, as I say, different times, but over in Luke chapter number 11, it said that he was in one place praying, and his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. You know, they're asking him, Lord, we need to know more about prayer. You know, isn't that amazing? I mean, there they are at this place, and they didn't say, Jesus, can you show us how you work in miracles? Oh, can you show us how you pull that out and fed those 5,000? How you do that with that bread? Show us some of that stuff. Oh, tell us about how you raise dead people and give them life again. No, they didn't ask that. They said, teach us to pray. And I'm telling you, I believe that emphasizes for me and you the preeminence, the grand importance, if you will, of us learning about prayer. And as I say, one of the best things you can do is let's look at Jesus and see what he's doing when he's praying. And that ought to give us some insight, some help, and some direction in the way that you and I pray. So let's look at, first of all, I want you to just realize what we'll call the necessity of prayer. I mean, Jesus saw prayer as a necessity. It was a necessity. I think Brother Ronnie says this several times in our Sunday school class, you know, that we'll do everything we can in our power, and then we'll look around and say, oh, well, I guess we ought to pray about it. It becomes a last resort rather than a first action. But Jesus says, this is the first thing I do in the day. Pray. Amen. And I'm telling you, hey, let me tell you, if you ever get a chance, get you some of those books by E.M. Bounds, and it'll break your heart. I mean, it hurts your feelings. He talks about getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and praying. And he says, that's the first thing he does at 4 o'clock, gets up, prays to about 6, takes a break and eats, and then goes back to praying again. Ooh, I've said, hey, he's done gone to meddling. I wish he quit writing that stuff. He's making me mad now. I'm just telling you, hey, friend, when you're like that and you understand the necessity of it, he said, there's no way you can be equipped for your day without prayer. And you know what? Most of us just slog on through, and we ain't got a lick of sense, amen? We need to understand the necessity. I mean, again, Jesus saw it as a necessary thing. Can you imagine? You say, well, preacher, what about when Jesus got up here to go pray? Let me just inform you of a few things. There wasn't no lights on down at McDonald's because there wasn't none, right? He couldn't go by the Walmart and see, well, they're open, there's some light there. No, sir. He's out walking in a dark path in the middle of a city that's asleep, and he's headed out for a solitary place where there's nothing but the stars above and maybe the moon glow of the night if it's right, but there's the Lord out before anything, before daybreak, before any kind of light. And brother, he's headed to the sweetest place that he knows of, the place of prayer. Amen. He sees it in its necessity. He says it's necessary. I mean, he got up early. He got to go into prayer, and he found it as something that was non-negotiable. I'm not saying, well, should or should. No, sir. Jesus said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to. The necessity of prayer. But not only this, in the preeminence of prayer, look at the nourishment that we get in prayer. You like a good breakfast in the morning? I do. I do. Now, you know, some people are on a cup of coffee and a donut, and I know I look like I've had my share of donuts, right? But I do like a little something different in the morning, right? But there, when we say, well, you know, got to have some nourishment. Well, if you're going to get some proper nourishment, you need the proper stuff to be nourished with. I'm telling you, prayer for a Christian is the proper nourishment for us in a daily portion. We need to pray. There is nourishment that is found in prayer. You remember when Jesus has met the little woman at the well, and he goes through the whole thing, and she goes off running back, said, come see a man, told me everything. And his disciples come back and they say, Master, eat. He said, oh, I've got something to eat y'all don't know nothing about. Amen? Can I tell you, there's some nourishment in working for God and doing His will, but there is nourishment for me and you when we get on our faces and we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek the will of God and we know where we're going. There is some nourishment for us that this world cannot see. The devil came to Jesus when he's tempted in the wilderness, and he said, you've been fasting for 40 days before now, and he said, if you be the Son of God, just speak to this stone, and it'll become a piece of bread. And Jesus said, it is written, Mr. Devil, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Can I tell you, there's something that will nourish you. And I'm telling you, prayer is an important part of our nourishment as the children of God. And in this battle that we fight, I mean, man, you have got to be filled up with something. If you're going to do a good day's work, you got to have something on the inside of you. You got to be able to get out there and face the job. You got to get out there and face the world. You got to get out there and have your energy level pushed up. You better get on your face and pray and ask God and say, I need your help today. Amen. I need you today. You and I need that kind of nourishment and encouragement from it. And then I want you to talk about the nineness of prayer. The nineness. What do I mean? I mean, boy, the idea is, James talks about if you'll draw near. He tells us, first of all, to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But then he says, draw nigh unto God. Draw nigh unto God. How am I going to draw nigh? You need to get down and talk to him. Amen? Now, I tell you, every once in a while, I like to draw nigh to this little girl over here. We'll go in there and we'll sit down. And I'll reach over and I'll grab her hand. She'll grab mine. We'll just kind of look at each other and smile and tell each other that we love each other. And, you know, we're just, wow. We get real close, huggled up. Amen? And I'm telling you, hey, that's just a nineness that there's just not. And I don't do that with anybody else. Let me just tell y'all that, okay? Right? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. That's a Christian's nineness. Oh, we get too near the world. We get too scooched up to the bad. We get to wanting to push the edge. We want to go, oh, let's look at that. Oh, yeah. You better leave that alone. You better start getting close to God. You better get as close up to Him. You better push on. You better get in there. Amen. You know what they've done nowadays? They have flat, ruined cars, ain't they? You remember? I can remember back, I mean, a long time ago, when I was a young man, they had them bench seats in the front. And then everybody got a stinking bucket seat with a console in the middle. I mean, that just weren't dating, didn't it? Them girls just can't slide over our necks, do you? And get all huggled up, right? Hey, you know what somebody said, though? Old man, he was driving, and him and his wife, when he was young, they had an old pickup truck, still had a bench seat in it. And his wife looked over at him one day. They was driving down the road. She said, why don't you just talk to me and do me like you used to do about being sweet and all that? And she said, we just don't even sit near one another no more. And he looked down at the steering wheel. He looked at her on the other side of the truck, and he said, I ain't moved. Amen. She's the one that moved off. Can I tell you, that's the way it is. We'll complain about, oh, where's the Lord and why ain't the Lord doing that? You need to just pull up close to Him. And find yourself, I mean, just right beside, I mean, look at Him and just say, Lord, I'm right here. I want to be near You. Amen. You remember that fellow that was the demoniac over in the land of the Gadarenes? And Jesus sent the devils out of him, and all that crowd got all tore up about it. When they came back, it said they found him clothed and in his right mind. And he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He just wanted to get his cloak. You remember what them devils said? Oh, what have we to do with thee, thou son of God? Thou son of David. I mean, they didn't want to have anything to do with him when that man's filled up with the devil. But when them devils got gone, he wanted to be right there at Jesus' feet. Amen? And then when Jesus left, you know what he said? I want to go with you. I don't want to be here by myself with this crowd. Amen? I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to be. But Jesus said, no, I got a job for you. And he left him behind. But I tell you, there was still that nearness in his heart, that desire to want to be near to the Lord. So the nineness of our prayer. We need to pull up close to God in prayer. Let's look at one more thing. The purpose of prayer. There is a purpose to all this prayer business, right? I mean, some folks don't quite understand it. And they say, well, I don't know. God knows what we need. What in the world do we need to do all this for anyway? Well, there is a purpose in our prayer. There's a purpose. As I said, you think about the day that had just happened before, and it was a great day. Jesus had achieved great victories, but now Monday's on its way for us in the way that we think of. I mean, there was some sweetness about those things, but I'm telling you, a new day came on. A new day. It was early in the morning. And that new day, you know what it had? It had some new needs. We needed new prayer. We got new problems. There's new possibility. And we certainly need new prayer. Amen. I mean, Jesus had done what he had done the day before. But today was going to be another day. And I want to tell you something. You ain't got a clue what you're going to face today, the rest of this day. And then as you get up tomorrow. Well, preacher, I prayed yesterday. Well, today's another day. Battles are new. Problems are maybe there more severe or at least as problematic as the day before. I mean, hey, we don't know. We have no idea. So you better get prepared through prayer. I mean, that's what Jesus is doing. You notice the purpose of this prayer is, first of all, let me just tell you this. I think in prayer, it gives us a connection to the Father. Don't you love that connection that you feel to someone else? When you get close to them, and I mean, as I told you before, Jesus just constantly talked with his Father. Jesus was, he wanted to be connected to the Father. He wanted to be, he said, "Oh Father, I'm glad that thou hearest me." What does that mean? That means he's connected to him. He said, "And I want to do this so that they'll know that I'm your son and you're my father." Woo! I mean, Jesus wanted to do that. He wanted to show that there was a definite connection. And I'm telling you, the best way, me and her talk about this a lot. Woo! I'm a man, okay? Men have trouble with this. Communication. There's times that I get to thinking stuff and I thunk wrong, I'm telling you. She'll say, "You didn't tell me." Well, you're supposed to read my mind. You're supposed to know what I know. It doesn't work. She said, "We need to work on communication." Amen. You know, we tell other folks that during maybe marital counseling and some of that kind of stuff, people we talk with, and we say, "We ever work on communication?" We need to work on it sometimes, right? All of us do. Well, that's what I'm saying. You need a connection with the Father. I mean, God does know your heart and your mind and everything about you, but you need that connection with your heavenly Father. You need that connection. Because I think through our connection, it gives us some boldness. It gives us some presence. I mean, when people see you and they know that somebody's prayed. Amen? I mean, they just know that you've been in contact with heaven. I mean, you just know. You remember when Peter and John go in before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter number 3 after all the things with the man at the gate and all that? He went in there and they start asking him questions. And it said that those brilliant men of the Sanhedrin, they looked at Peter and John and said when they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned, but they knew that they'd been with Jesus. Do they know that you've been with him? I believe they can tell it. I believe when you've got that kind of a connection between you and heaven, people will understand it. Second of all, it's just good to have communion with the Father. I mean, it's just, Jesus went out. He wanted to get alone. He got up early in the morning. He got out by himself. He found a solitary place. He found it at an early time. And he got alone with God and he just prayed. Boy, isn't that a sweet time? When you can just have communion with him. Brother Logan sings that song sometime. "I go to the garden alone." Amen? Oh, I go to the garden in the morning. I get up early in the day. And what does it say in the chorus? "And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as he tarries there, another has ever known." Nobody knows what kind of communion you have with your heavenly Father. And they don't need to know. I mean, they don't have to know. But can I tell you, sometimes it just kind of, it'll bleed out through your eyes sometimes. Sometimes it'll show up when your hand goes up. Sometimes it'll go when you give one of them war whoops out sometimes. I mean, sometimes folks will know, hey, that person's been with the Lord, amen, in a place of communion. Sweetness and the grace and the goodness of God. And there you are, man. And you're in a place of sweet communion with your heavenly Father. Well, there ain't nobody else there to hear it. They don't need to be anybody else there to hear it. There's no one else that needs to know. They sometimes don't have the right to know what goes on between you and the Lord. Isn't it amazing when we can gather up like we do most of the time on Wednesday nights, come and gather up and pray? And isn't it amazing that we've got a God that can hear every prayer of every one of us, and He is attendant to every one of those individual prayers and those things that we mentioned. He's right there for every one of us in our several needs. In our many calls and cries, He hears every one of them. Oh, there's somebody wrote a song, and I don't know if it's recent and been around very long, but it says that He loves me like I'm His only child. Woo, ain't that good? I mean, sometimes, man, y'all ever do that at home? Well, Mama loved me better than she loved you. Look at the attention she's paying me. No, she loved me better. She fixed me a banana pudding, amen, or whatever it is, you know. We get to kind of play in those games. But aren't you glad that God loves every one of us in that special time of communion, just you and Him? And you see that sweet. Get alone with Him and say, God, I'm not much and I'm nobody, but I just want to come sit in Your presence and hear from heaven and let You just pour out some of that honey bucket on me, and I'm ready just to sit here and enjoy that sweet, sweet, sweet communion that You and I have. Amen? And I believe that we all can. So there is a communion in this prayer. That's what Jesus is doing. He's communing. He's connected with the Father. He's communing with the Father. And He realized that there is going to be, as I said earlier, some contention in this world. That time of the purpose of prayer is to get you ready to contend with this world. What did Jude say? Jude said, well, I'm here to tell you that you earnestly should contend for the faith. Earnestly contend. How am I going to do it? You're going to have to get some prayer behind you if you're going to fight this thing. Matter of fact, go read that sometime in the book of Jude. It's in chapter number 1 if you need to know. But Jude chapter 1, he'll tell you about prayer. Y'all get that after a while. There ain't but one chapter, okay? And later on, he talks about praying, how that we're supposed to pray. He said, pray in the Holy Ghost, amen? And I'll guarantee if you'll do that, you'll find that you can contend. And matter of fact, that's what a lot of Jude's message is, that there's things that we're going to have to contend with, those that are trying to tear down the church and tear down people's faith and get in and cause problems among the brethren and all that. He said, you're going to have to contend with that. You contend for the faith. You got to contend with that crowd. But thank God, do it and build yourselves up, he says, in your most holy faith. Amen. And you do it through prayer. You do it through prayer. So there is a world that we'll have to contend with. You got to get ready. I mean, you got to be prepared for whatever, because something's going to face you. And it may be today. It may be tomorrow. It may be another day. I don't know. It just seems like it comes very regularly to us, doesn't it? I mean, if you remember, again, when Jesus is in the wilderness, I think it's in Luke chapter number 4, and it says that Jesus is contending with the devil. Devil comes, tempts him and all these things, you know, about making a stone bread, put him on the pinnacle of the temple, and I'll give you all the stuff of the world. And afterwards it says that the devil departed for a season. He's always coming back, and you're going to face him again some other time. You ain't through fighting him. And you need to pray that God would give you the power, the strength, and the ability to go in there and fight that fight. Amen? Well, that's just a little bit of us beginning some things now in the thought of Jesus and His prayer life. Jesus in prayer, why, man, if He needs to, how much more do you and I? How much more do you and I? Brother Ronnie, come on. We'll sing a verse. We'll come here and pray and just